Welcome to the Quotivation Podcast. Together, we will unlock inspiration one quote at a time. Your host is one of America's top emerging public speakers. He is a former semifinalist in the World Championship of Public Speaking and is an expert motivator. Please welcome Jody Powell.
Welcome to another exciting episode of the Quotivation Podcast, where we unlock inspiration one quote at a time. I hope you had an amazing weekend and that you are ready to move ahead and win your week. You know, you never know where you will end up because of someone you meet. Networking is so important. If you feel like opportunity always passes you by time and time and time again, then you're not looking hard enough. You're not doing the things that you need to do to find opportunity. I've had the pleasure to meet some very cool men in the last few weeks through networking. And we discovered that we share two very similar interests or passions. We all have these two passions in common. And all of a sudden, we are on the verge of doing something I never thought I would do, something really cool. Now, more to come on this in a few weeks in terms of what it is, but let me encourage you. Find people that are doing the things you want to do and connect with them. Ask someone that you find interesting to grab a cup of coffee. In fact, this is how I've befriended someone that I've always admired. And we are also on the verge of doing something really cool, and more to come on that as well. But when you open your eyes and open your heart to connect and network with other people, opportunities begin to flood in. So invite someone to coffee, see where the conversation goes, and you will find out that this will help you quickly win your week. So let's start winning your week right now. And we're going to start off, as we do every episode, by taking a shot of motivation. And this week, our shot of motivation is sponsored by Amy Real from Fairway Mortgage. Amy is the real deal in all things mortgage. And she has just made a big change by joining the Fairway Mortgage team. So ask her about the Quotivation Special. Okay, it's not the Quotivation Special. It's for everyone. But you can still ask her about the Cash Guarantee Program. They will make you a cash offer to buy your home if it doesn't sell before the allotted time period. Now, this removes all of the contingency to buy. It's an amazing opportunity. Cash guaranteed. I love those two words together. So give Amy a call today. Her phone number is 864-310-9337. That's 864-310-9337. You can email her at her new email address, amy.real, R-E-I-H-L, at fairwaymc.com. Amy Real, the real deal in all things mortgage. And Amy's NMLS number is 486-620. And as always, thank you, Amy, for sponsoring this week's Shot of Motivation.
It's time for a Shot of Motivation, where the vibe's like taking a shot, but the high is pure inspiration. This is a quick, powerful boost of motivation to fire up your spirit. Get ready for a rapid infusion of uplifting stories, impactful quotes, and game-changing ideas. It's the swift, potent dose you need to amp up your game and win your week. It's a shot of motivation.
Words. Words are powerful. Words have changed the course of human history. Think about President Reagan telling Mikhail Gorbachev to tear down that wall. speaking specifically of the Berlin Wall. This statement has been credited with the ending of the Cold War and seeing the fall of communism and the eventual destruction of the Berlin Wall that separated East and West Berlin. I have a dream. Four words that became the rallying cry for the civil rights movement. Dr. King would make hundreds, even thousands of speeches, many of which are famous and full of powerful quotes. But you ask any American what four words define the civil rights movement, and you will get, "I have a dream," more often than not. "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself." Amazing perspective given by President Franklin Delano Roosevelt at his inauguration in 1933, smack dab in the middle of the Great Depression. This sentiment gave hope, encouragement, and inspiration to a nation facing economic hardship, the likes of which it had never seen. "Forgive them, Father. They know not what they do." One of the seven documented sayings of Jesus Christ as he hung from the cross. Now, this expression of compassion for those who just hours earlier were hammering spikes through his wrist and feet, who mocked him, who spat upon him, who whipped him and beat him mercilessly. Yet this saying, this plea on their behalf, sums up the entire faithful belief of billions that have followed his teachings, that in him there is forgiveness. Words. It's so important to choose the words you mean and mean the words you say. Words that are similar in definition can seem innocuous in some contexts. Yet, if you change the context, they're vastly different. Let me give you an example. I just recently watched a wonderful TED Talk from Simon Sinek. Within the TED Talk, he talks about these two different sayings. "Oh, I like my job." Like is a logical word. It's a factual word. Compare that to someone saying, "I love my job." Love is an emotional word. It's sentimental. To hear someone say, "I like my job," seems positive when it's said in a vacuum. But you compare that to someone who says, "I love my job," and the distinction becomes clear. Then there's the context. Simon Sinek went on to say, "Well, do you love your wife?" "Oh, well, I like her very much." There's a vast difference in like and love when the context is changed that way, even though the words themselves are similar in meaning. Now, consider these statements, the differences between these factual or logical words and the emotional or sentimental words. "I prefer chocolate ice cream." "I adore chocolate ice cream." "Yeah, I do." "I enjoy reading books." "I cherish moments spent lost in the world of literature." Neither of which are true for me. "I accept the changes in the plan." "I embrace new opportunities that these changes bring." "I prefer a quiet night in." "I yearn for the stillness of the evening in the springtime." On the surface, in a vacuum, each statement seems totally fine. Comparatively speaking, the emotional, sentimental words elevate the feeling and the meaning and the expression to a whole new level. So what does this mean for us? Well, First, I think it means that we need to be very aware of the words we say and the words we hear. Are we expressing to someone how we truly feel, or are we being guarded and relying on those factual words to downplay our emotions? Do we not feel safe to say how we feel? Think about this from the perspective of being at work. Two leaders are given the same message from their boss. Goals have increased. We've never heard that before, right? Goals have increased. We need to improve our efficiencies and hit our targets. Make sure your teams understand. Leader number one goes to his team in a team meeting and says, we need to focus on efficiency and productivity in order to meet our targets. Let's review our processes and identify areas for improvement. Sounds like a plan. Laid out very specifically what they needed to focus on and what they needed to do. Focus on efficiency and productivity. Why? So we can meet our targets. How are we going to do this? We're going to review our processes and identify areas for improvement. Pretty good. Leader number two goes to her team and says, I believe in each of you, in our collective ability to overcome challenges together. Let's strive for excellence, not only for the success of our team, but also for our personal growth and fulfillment. Which leader do you want to work for? Or maybe a better question, especially for you leaders out there, which leader does your team work for? See, leader number two going in with such an impassioned and emotional appeal to her team, telling them not only that there's a situation where we need to overcome challenges, but that she believes that each of them are capable of overcoming those challenges. Motivating them to strive for success, for excellence. Not only for the success of our team, not only for us as a collective, but for our personal growth and fulfillment. What's in it for you? You have the opportunity now to grow, to be fulfilled, to do meaningful work. So much more powerful, so much more impassioned, so much more motivating, because those are emotional words. Now, does that make leader number two better than leader number one? No, not necessarily. But what it does tell me is that leader number one isn't comfortable, doesn't feel safe enough to express his emotions, to express his feelings to his team. He's guarded, he's reserved, he's prim and proper. Leader number two has obviously established a great rapport with her team. She's been vulnerable. She's been open. She's been engaging because she is feeling safe and comfortable and able to say those impassioned and emotional words. That's who you want to work for. That's who you want your team to work for. Now, the same can be said for personal relationships. Imagine two couples growing apart, striving to hold it together. Now, the first husband comes home and he says, I've noticed that we haven't been spending as much time together lately. Maybe we can schedule some quality time for just the two of us to reconnect. Sounds sincere, right? It's sincere enough. It's a plea. Let's reconnect. Let's schedule some time. Let's be intentional to do that. Husband number two comes home and says this. I miss you. Lately, it feels like we've been drifting apart and it has been weighing on me. I cherish the moments we share and I long for that closeness again. Can we make an effort to spend more time together? Pay attention to what you say. and how you say it. Understand that at work, you may not feel safe to express your emotions and how you truly feel. And if you don't, then you need to evaluate your situation to see if your leader is open to change and discuss it with him or her. Now, if you do that evaluation and you determine that your leader is not willing or you don't feel comfortable or safe to have that conversation, it may be time to look elsewhere. I mean, after all, you can't be your best self if you can't be yourself. In personal relationships, work to build trust and safety with each other. Spouses, family, friends, all of these require a level of safety to be valuable relationships. Identify the ones that have the potential to improve and work on those. Treasure them. Treat them with love and respect. Those are the relationships that see you through the tough times and bring you joy in the good times. I hope you can win your week this week by building safe relationships, safe environments, improving the environments that you have at work, at home, and within those relationships. Listen to the words being said. Recognize what they are saying. What are they saying about the safety you feel in your environment? What are they saying about the safety that others feel in your environment? Listen to the words, because words say a lot. That's your shot of motivation for the week. I hope you can take this, apply it, and it helps you to win your week. And I want to thank Amy Real, the real deal in all things mortgage, for sponsoring this week's Shot of Motivation.
This has been a Shot of Motivation from America's leading emerging speaker, Jody Powell. We hope it helps you win your week.
All right, let's get to our special guest this week. Marilyn August is a profit attracting expert. She inspires business owners and sales professionals to close more deals for more money by first changing the way they think about money and providing a complete one-stop spectrum of business development strategies with results you can take to the bank. Please welcome to the Quotivation Podcast, Marilyn August. Marilyn, how are you?
Terrific. Thank you very much for that introduction.
Absolutely. I'm so intrigued. I want to get into a little bit about what you do and how you go through this one-step process of business development. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your background, how you came to do what you're doing, and then how that can apply to sales professionals and people that are looking to gain that profit.
Oh, wow. That's a lot to talk about. So I'll give you the Cliff Notes version. I didn't start out as a business development guru. It wasn't where I started my business. In fact, it goes a little bit to my quote that we'll talk about later. So I developed quite by accident out of my training seminars, a one-to-one, what would now be called a business coaching advisory. I never called it business coaching because I always told people what to do. And gradually, little by little, it was easier to do it for them than to nag entrepreneurs to get their marketing stuff done. And then technology came in and reared its ugly head, or some would say its beautiful head. And my clients couldn't get cold calls. Basically, the cold call rate today is about 3%. Mm-hmm. And I think that's generous. I don't pick up my phone. I hate robocalls. I have two call blockers. And if you're selling more than $1.95 commodity, very other people don't appreciate you interrupting their day. So I came up with what I thought, and it's in air quotes, was a brilliant idea. And my brilliant idea was to become like SEO for LinkedIn. I would drive profile views and turn a cold call into a warm call. And that's Then, much to my surprise, I looked at my clients' profiles. And yuck. I'm going to use a word I very rarely use, but I'm going to tell you they suck. And, well, LinkedIn started as a job board, so right. It's understandable. Mm-hmm. And like most evolutions in business, we adjust to the market or we die. And yep. Not literally, but emotionally and financially. So out of necessity, I discovered that I could write what I now call personal branded profiles. Pulling out the unique market distinction, the gifts, the talents, the skills, it's almost undefinable. And I started writing sticky profiles. And from that grew, obviously, managing LinkedIn campaigns. And the more and more I've been doing this over the last 10 years, the more I realize that no matter what people buy, they buy you. Mm. And if you're not branded as a million-dollar brand, why would they even bother to stop the scroll?
Yeah.
So I react also, and I'm going to be writing about this today, to every digital marketing company out there selling you the latest and greatest. So you got to have this one. There's lots of buzz. So what I do is develop a system that takes you, gets you out of the maze of social selling. Because everybody tells you this is the magic pill. Well, I once asked, in fact, I was thinking about this today. I asked on a post, why are you posting content? Hmm. What's the purpose? Nobody could answer. I couldn't get one rational. They didn't know. They just did it because someone told them they had to do it.
Right.
Well, obvious. Somebody's reading your content. I don't know anybody that ever sold anything because they read your content, but they may click on your profile. So that's why the personal brand is so very important, and why I have shifted to looking at your profile as a personal brand that you can use anywhere. Mm-hmm. You can use it on your website. It's not a bio. It's not the past, and it's not the future. It's something that's undefinable, and no, it's not artificial, so artificial intelligence can't do it for you because it's your humanness. It's that I don't know how to describe it. So that's why I write personally branded profiles and manage LinkedIn campaigns so that my clients can get those sales meetings so they can close the high ticket deals.
Sure, sure. I'm curious because I love to hear these stories and you can withhold names and profile links, whatever, but what are some of the most cringiest things that you've seen in a LinkedIn profile? What are the, oh, don't do that. Please don't post that. Don't put that out there.
I could go on for hours.
I bet.
I have a whole file called Worst Practices, which I changed to Stop Stupid Stuff. So you're asking me what stupid stuff? Well, recently, and this is a real person, I won't name her name. I met through a networking group a woman who's a speaker. She speaks she actually speaks on personal branding, only she meant the physicality of the personal branding, how you look, your images, your photos.
Right.
So I looked at, naturally, I do what I do. I looked at her web, and 77% of people check you out on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. So I looked at her profile, and it's a mess. It's on emoji overload. Mm. Where she says she's a speaker, she has an emoji of a mic. I mean, the entire title. And what people don't realize is it may be cute on Facebook, but in a professional networking environment, it destroyed her credibility. So one of the things I'm seeing recently, and somebody must, I can always tell when someone's taken a course. They all do the same thing. Somebody must be teaching emojis because her profile was just filled. Every sentence started with an emoji. So rather than a professional that tells, what does that tell me about it? It means she's a clown. Mm. I mean, she doesn't do anything. The other things I see, oh, and this is another one of my pet peeves. I actually asked a guy yesterday, I was on a meeting with him, stop using acronyms. Nobody cares about your certificates. Mm. And half of us don't know what they mean. So right. I had this client a long time ago. I'll never forget her. She's a tough one. She had some sort of certification in her industry. And when I wrote her headline, you know, when I wrote it, I left it out. And she got pissed. And because she worked hard to get that certification.
Sure.
God. I said, well, here's a problem with that certification. Nobody knows what it means. And her answer to me was, they know in my industry, they know exactly what that means. Mm-hmm. And I said back to her, are you selling to your industry? But she wasn't having it. He had so much ego attachment. You know, I don't care if you've got an MBA. At least I know what MBA stands for.
Right, right.
So many acronyms. I talked to somebody yesterday that had FHRO after his name. Yeah, I did the same thing. Mm. So when I talked to him one on one, I said, we don't want to look stupid either. What does FHRO mean? And he said, fractional human resources officer, obviously. Take a second. I know we've been taught to, you know, text shorthand. I'm old enough to remember when we wrote things out, but nobody cares about your acronym. So that's one of the things. Yeah. Another thing, your titles, totally irrelevant, unless you're job hunting. I've mm-hmm. asked a number of people, are you job hunting? Titles after your name, totally irrelevant. Also, and I'm going to get in trouble for this one. I've already been in trouble with this one. Okay, I've already been in trouble. So I'm prefacing this for your listeners. I know this is not what you want to hear. But unless you have a name that is not gender specific, that little pull down that LinkedIn asks you for him, her, our pronouns, that's valuable space. There's a custom window. If you, after my name is the name of my company, mm-hmm. where you can put in. Now, if you have a name that's hard to pronounce, it's a great place to put the pronunciation. We were just talking about that. But yep. people don't want to feel stupid. They don't want to say your name wrong. So if you can put the phonetic pronunciation of your name in that window, there's a lot of things you can do with that window other than the pronouns. But I know that somebody got really mad at me because they said that their target market was younger people. Hmm. And that younger people really care about that. I look at LinkedIn as a professional handshake. If they're not going to shake your hand because you don't have the pronouns there, then okay. But if you have a name, like I had a client named Leslie. Leslie sure. could be male or female. Mm-hmm. Of course he would use it.
Yep.
Of course he also had his image right there. It's pretty easy to tell that Leslie is a guy. Yeah, actually had guy hair. You know, I should probably not talk about hair right now. I'm in my trouble. But that's another one of my pet peeves. You want me to go on, or we only have an hour?
I bet you could go on quite a long list of things, of do's and don'ts. Marilyn, how much of that is dependent upon your purpose for being on LinkedIn? You mentioned job seekers. There are sales professionals that are looking for clients. There are entrepreneurs who are looking for business. How much of the customization of your profile should depend upon what you're on LinkedIn for?
Well, 100%.
Yep.
But also, when I'm watching recruiters, I don't write profiles. I don't write profiles for people looking for jobs typically. Mm-hmm. I do have a resource for that. That's what she specializes in, career coaching. But I've been watching the recruiters, and the recruiters don't want a resume as your profile. They want more of a story. And I've started to write profiles as more of a story. I'll tell you just if I can tell a quick story.
Sure.
I work with a lot of service professionals, but occasionally I'll have a product company. And I had a couple now, and they're usually very attached to their product. They're usually features and benefits people. And this one great, he's great. He sells a very common product. The product is a surface for marble. It protects marble.
Okay.
Now, how do you tell a story about that in his personal brand? Well, I had to get to the backstory. Why of all you're doing this, of all the things you could be doing in the world? And then the more I talk to him, the more I interview, because I do interview. It is personal. It's very labor intensive, which is why most people don't write them.
Right.
So when I got to talking to him, I found out it was a family business. He's actually got distributors all over the country, and they are socially conscious. So they donate to charities a percentage of their profit. And he's really a good human being. But you wouldn't have gotten that if you just talked about his features and benefits.
Sure.
So I had to dive in. I really had to do it to get that out of him. But when you, if, so when you read his profile, you get his backstory. You know, why this and why having a, so his family is very important. He wanted a business for his family. Yeah. He wanted something to turn over to his kids. Everyone works. His wife works in the business. His two kids work in the business. That was really a motivation. So when I say personal, it really gets to the story behind, it gets to the why.
Sure, sure. And it resonates, it connects. People want to buy from someone they feel like they know and trust. And that's what storytelling does. It builds trust. People can relate. I have a similar experience, or I feel connected to you because now I know, I feel like I know you. And we're more apt to make buying decisions from people that we feel like we know and can trust. And that knowing and trusting comes through exactly that, storytelling. It's not features and benefit of the product.
Jody, you took the words right out of my mouth. And, you know, it's interesting because where do people get to know you these days? They get to know you either on a meeting like this, mm-hmm. or they get to know you by on LinkedIn or some other social media. And B2B is for LinkedIn. And so it's, we are very rarely getting into our cars or our trucks or our whatever and going someplace since COVID. So the stat 77% begin their buy journey online. Is probably even a little bit low.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that 100%. Marilyn, this is wonderful information. You talk more about these types of personal brand building and stories in your webinar. Tell us a little bit about the $1 Million Personal Branding Webinar.
Well, it's going to have 4 pieces of personal branding that everybody needs. And I will be very upfront with you. I was really inspired by an article I read about George Clooney.
Hmm.
And I never thought about George Clooney as a personal brand. But if you think about George Clooney, a certain image comes to your mind.
Yes.
You know, there's certain things you can count on for him, from him. And as I read more and more about him, I kept thinking about the famous people we know, the celebrities we know that are branded. Mm-hmm. They are their brand. And then I thought about what you said about people knowing you and liking you and realizing that no matter what people buy, they buy you. So during the webinar, I'm going to make fine distinctions between what we're talking about, features, benefits, profiles that simply don't work. I have to make the distinction between what it's not and what it is. And also the difference between a company. If you work for a company, your company logo is not your personal brand.
No.
Unless you think you're Avis, you know. So there's going to be 4 distinct parts to your personal brand. And really it means going inside and taking a look at what do you bring to the party? Now, in marketing terms, it's called market dominating position. Mm-hmm. But starting to think of yourself as a brand and your ethics and your morality and the way you do business and being able to get that on paper so that a stranger that's never met you gets to know you, maybe even like you. And as you said, the longer they engage with you, they'll trust you with their business, particularly if you're selling something that's intangible, like intellectual property.
Sure.
You know, so it's going to really shift your thinking, like I said, first thinking about yourself, thinking about money, and ultimately your self-worth. What the heck are you worth as a business owner, as a salesperson? Are you worth a million? If you don't think you're worth a million, you're never going to make a million.
That's right. That's so true.
Down on paper.
And it's so true. And people will say, well, I don't really know my self-worth. I'm okay with just doing what I do. Well, I'll tell you something. If you don't define your self-worth, someone else is going to define it for you. And it's not going to be worth as much as you think it is.
It's funny. I'm laughing because that's my sister.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Yep. But it's true, Marilyn. I mean, you have to, and it's not a matter of battling ego and humility. It's truly identifying, hey, you know what? My time is valuable. It's worth something. What I have to offer is worth something. And it needs to be monetized. It needs to be, like you said, written down. And you need to have that value in front of you.
It's interesting. I think we were talking the other day and I said, you know, when I was doing a lot of in-person speaking, I'd be on the stage 20, 30 minutes. And then afterwards, there would be a line of people wanting to talk to me. Mm-hmm. And I kind of have an out-of-body experience. Like the first few times it happened, it was, who is this person they want to talk to? Who is she? And inevitably, people would say to me, and they still do, and more so now that we're online, they'll say, well, I want to do what you do. Mm-hmm. I like what you do. And I said, you're willing to put 10 years into learning how to be on the stage for 30? And they weren't, and they still aren't.
It's so easy to look at someone who is successful and has put in the work to say, I want to be there. We do it all the time with athletics. You know, you aspire to be the NBA champion or winner or the World Series champion, but how many people are willing to go to the ballpark for 4 hours a day, taking ground balls, taking batting practice every single day, rain or shine? It's the work you put into it that really drives the success. No one walks onto the field and is just an all-star right away.
Right. And I told that story because of the need for instant gratification. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, that people have these days. But it's what goes on behind the scenes, basically. And that's what you're talking about, knowing what your worth is.
Yes. $1 Million Personal Branding is the name of the webinar. Marilyn, how do we find out more about it? I can tell my listeners this. The link to sign up for that will be in our episode recap. So if you're watching us on YouTube, it's in the comments. If you found us on a podcast service, it's in the episode recap. Marilyn, is there an easy way for folks to click and get through to sign up for your webinar?
You know, I didn't give you the link to sign up, but I have the link. I can put it in the chat box if we have a chat box.
Actually, I do. I believe I do have the link. $1 Million Personal Brand Meeting is through Event Raptor, which is a great site. I'll drop that link into our episode recap.
The link to sign up.
Sign up for that webinar. And Marilyn, tell us the dates. When is the webinar? It's
May 22nd, noon Pacific time, which means that the East Coast is kind of the end of your day. So you can take, and I don't talk forever. It's interactive, half hour, 40 minutes. I'm not one of these people. Doesn't sound like this on this broadcast, but typically I like to work with the audience. So I'll be able to answer your questions. Get you started and Is this where I tell people that I have a LinkedIn tips and scripts book?
Absolutely. Let's talk about that. You have a special surprise for our listeners. Tell me about the LinkedIn tips and tricks.
Tips and scripts. Well, it's a very simple to read ebook.
Mm-hmm.
It drills down to basics, but it also has some ways to ask for invites and some scripts that you can use and suggestions on how to be professional so you don't fall into my stop stupid stuff pile.
That's fantastic, Marilyn. That link will also be in our episode recap. We'll include that. It's going to be in all of our online promotion of this episode as well. You will not be able to miss it. So please feel free to download that free ebook. Thank you so much for that gift. Sign up for the webinar, and then we can talk about this wonderful quote that you have for us, Marilyn. Please tell us what the quote is and take time to tell us who said it, because I really like the person who said it. But, and then why is this quote inspiring for you?
Well, the quote is pain pushes, vision pulls.
Hmm.
And I'm the person that said it. So where I said it was in one of my 6-week seminars. So a little bit of backstory on this. I was doing my original body of work, which is coming back. Mm-hmm. It's now called Sales Genius Mastermind on the psychology of money. And I was doing it in a 4-week series. And one night, a lady came up to me and she said, "You are one of the most quotable people I know." And I said, "What?" And she physically handed me a sheet of paper. And there were 19 things on it I had said.
Wow.
And I looked at that and, you know, it was one of those, another one of those body experiences. Who's saying this? And I thanked her profusely. And from that point on, I kept a 3x5 card, something that I could capture when I was speaking to audiences and when I was doing trainings. And that's how the rest of them grew. But pain pushes, vision pulls is the story of my life.
Mm.
And it's a matter, and I, do I have time to,
tell us, yes, please.
Well, I've had a lot of trauma in my life. In fact, my earliest memories were my mother and dad arguing about money.
Mm.
Money was a topic of huge, you know, every huge discourse. Every time something was bought, my dad questioned my mother questioned my dad. They worked together. I was convinced they hated each other until my mother and I had this long goodbye. And I asked her about it, and she said, "Well, we just talk loud." But to me as a kid, it was arguing.
Sure.
And life didn't get much better. When I left my now ex-husband, I walked out with the clothes on my back. Mm. I'm highly educated. I ended up in and this is the preface to my book. I had a job. My first corporate job was at AAA Chicago Motor Club. And I found and people that know Chicago know Division Street, but it's filled with bars and weird people. And I found a pay by the week hotel and found myself in a room with plastic cover sheets and a few items that I'd taken from my home. I actually had to borrow a car to move out. We were that broke.
Hmm.
I was the sole support of the family. He had a business that was failing. And it's bringing up some painful memories. I thought it was a long time ago. And so sitting in that hotel room by myself with barely enough money to make it to payday, I did what I now find is very typical for people to do. I blame myself.
Mm-hmm.
What was wrong with me? How'd I end up here?
Yeah.
The story has a lot of tangents to it, but basically, I lost my house because in Illinois at that time, they had an abandonment law. And since I had left and moved out, they considered, I mean, it was for no children. It was a very contentious divorce. And then I got a job offer to come out to California and work for American Honda. To say that I wasn't prepared for the Japanese culture and for being the highest ranking woman in my division that wasn't sleeping with her boss, it was, I was totally unprepared.
Yeah.
Again, I like to say that I read my first self-help book on the plane from Chicago to California. And I became a self-help junkie. I was going to fix myself. I went to every training, every seminar, whatever the flavor of the month was, you could count on me spending money that I didn't have in order to fix me. There's definitely something. And my wonderful sister reinforced that all the time. But that's another story. In case she ever sees this. So I went through a series of bosses from hell. Obviously, I didn't succeed in Honda. I didn't last. I actually had a manager tell me that if I was a good girl and shut up, I might be a manager in 10 years. I mean, wow. You know, it was just, well, I had the auto industry plus the Japanese culture.
Mm-hmm.
Got Honda stories, but I won't bother you with them. I mean, hindsight is 2020. You would have done a lot of things different. Had some fun though. So what transpired is as I'm going through the self-help journey, I'm also having job problems. I went from one job to another, reinforcing again that there's something the matter with me.
Sure.
And finally, I met my, so there's a lot of pain. And then I met the man that became my mentor, on which I based my training programs on. And it became a vision, a purpose to turn everything I had experienced. I said, I could, you know, people talk about TED Talks. I said, I've got 10 TED Talks. To turn my experience and my trauma and my drama into it was a 6-week training at that time called Money, Wealth, and Wisdom, and which eventually evolved into a book, which is now out of publication. But from that training where people were breaking through their revenue roadblocks, I got passionate about good people having sufficient money to live a richly fulfilled lifestyle. So no matter what I've gone through, and I don't know what you believe in, but I believe we all come here for a purpose. And I prefer to work with people that came here for the purpose to do some good.
Yes.
In order to do that good, it takes money.
It does.
And so richly fulfilled was the words that I came up with to make the distinction between unbelievable greed and being the kind of person that has their money with integrity and responsibility. So my belief is that I'm here on this planet to help people break through revenue roadblocks, close more deals, and make more money. And believe me, Jody, if that wasn't my driving force, I'd have chucked it in a long time ago.
Sure. So how does that relate then to the quote itself? When you say pain pushes, what do you mean pushes and vision pulls? What distinguish the two? How do they differ?
The pain pushed me to take action, to go to those trainings, to go to that seminar, to find out finally that it wasn't me, that there was nothing wrong with me, that I'm a $1 million brand. That's how I came up with $1 million brand, that I'm worth it. So when we get back down to it, the pain pushed me to find my self-worth. But the vision pulls means leaving the past behind, giving your past some purpose.
It pulls you forward. You know, it's as we're sitting here talking about this quote and the contrast between pain pushing and vision pulling, the pain is there. And if we wallow in it, Marilyn, we don't grow. We don't move. We don't act. We're imprisoned by it. So to allow the pain to push gives me two visuals. One, it's a catapult that's pushing you forward. It's allowing you to grow from it. And two, it also is allowing you to leave it behind. Contrast that with vision pulls. You find your passion, which you obviously have found your passion, and it continues to pull you towards it, not leaving you anywhere, not pushing you anywhere, but pulling you to it. And you're going from trauma and hurt to passion and pride.
You said it better than I could.
It's a beautiful quote.
I love that passion and pride. And it also lets you, and this is very personal, and this is recent, that I've seen with, now I'll just use sister as a metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
The people, the naysayers in your life, the critics. I have a personally vicious internal critic. My critic remembers everything I've ever done wrong in my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
But the pride and the passion part that you talked about is it's able to let me say, put that aside.
Mm-hmm.
She's got her own issues in life, which I never saw. I always thought she was perfect. But now I see that she's projecting her, maybe her disappointments, her whatever, maybe jealousy, whatever it is. You're intaking the naysayers and the negativity, and you don't have to have it personally. Just step outside your door and get in your car, and there's a rude driver somewhere.
Right.
I've noticed since COVID that going to the grocery store is an adventure because they don't say excuse me anymore.
No.
And this is post-COVID, I think. Everyone's in a hurry, at least where I live.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no reason, or they're going to cut you off in traffic. So you go into your environment and you're going to get negativity and people coming at you with their own projections. And the vision pulling, as you said, lets you put that all aside and say, okay, this is the path. That's why my company is Profit GPS.
Mm-hmm.
This is the path. We're not going to detour down her beliefs. We're not going to detour down cultural beliefs. Now, cultural beliefs, particularly in sales, boy, that's another whole topic.
Yes.
And even the word sales, I have a post that sales is not a four-letter word. You know, the last thing people grow up to be is to be a salesperson. And yet salespeople make the most money.
Right.
So there's cultural beliefs. As soon as you... that are just poured into us day in and day out without us really believing, realizing it. And, you know, since I work on the money program, one of my topics is there's more than one way to skin a cat. I don't know about you, but I was taught when I was a kid, there's one way to earn money and there's only one way to earn money. And that's a job.
Yep. And not only is it a job, but it's a job you stay at for 40 years.
Oh, yeah, forever.
Right.
And then you're going to get the golden parachute and they're going to love you and right. Give you a go watch. Yeah, you were we raised in the same house?
Well, Marilyn, as we're wrapping up, pain pushes, vision pulls. Our audience, if there's someone that is in a position where you were 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, and they're hearing this for the first time, how can they apply it to what they're doing today that they not to build a grandiose plan, but to simply win their week? What is one or two things we can do to get started with applying this pain pushes and vision pulls thought process?
So one of the things you can do, I hope I have time, that's another whole topic. One of the things you can do is get rid of your ridiculous goals. Because your goals are set up to lose and get your intentions. So one of the things I do in the program is, all right, if your goal is to make $10,000 this week, what does that do for you? Well, that makes me feel safe. So you focus on the intention first. Secondly, have something big that you're going for, something that you don't know how. So you have to kind of leave your logical mind behind. I have a screensaver on my computer now that has visuals. So it's real easy to go clip visuals that remind you every morning when you log in that this is where you're going. So I have a map of some areas I'd like to live in. If you want a vacation spot, they say, and I don't know if this is true for me because I'm tactile, but they say that the brain implants pictures faster than it implants words. So have a visual, pick one symbol of something that would show you that you won the week. Maybe it's going out to dinner, or maybe it's a reward that you give yourself. But put something in there. Goals are setups to lose. They're time and numbers. So I work with intentionality. So what's the goal of the goal?
Love that. What a great concept. Focus on the intentions. What is it? Not just what are we trying to accomplish, but the why behind it. And that's and then utilizing the pain to push you forward and the vision to pull you to your success. Marilyn, I want to thank you for being on the Quotivation Podcast. Marilyn is the CEO, the head of Profit GPS. She is the head person in charge. She is ready to show you how you can build a million-dollar personal brand. So I want to encourage you to consider joining her on that webinar coming up. You can find the details in the episode recap. And she has a free giveaway for you to learn how to write tips and scripts on LinkedIn. And that is also in the recap. And Marilyn, I can't thank you enough for being on the Quotivational Podcast. This has been absolutely a pleasure.
Well, thank you. The feeling is quite mutual. It's my pleasure to be here. I really appreciate it. Really reconnected me with my passion and purpose.
Well, there's nothing better than reconnecting with your passion, with your purpose. Marilyn, thank you again for being on the Quotivation Podcast. Check out Marilyn's free gift in the episode recap, and also look there for the link to sign up for the Million Dollar Brand webinar. You'll be glad you did. But before you do that, hey, stick around. We've got just enough time for a little dessert. It's time for the last slice of cheesecake.
How about some dessert before you go? There isn't anything that can't be solved over a slice of cheesecake. So before we wrap things up, sit back, relax, and enjoy the last slice of cheesecake.
Pain pushes, vision pulls. Think about that quote. What a powerful quote from Marilyn August. Allow your pain to push you forward, giving you the opportunity to leave it behind, grow, develop, and move while a vision pulls you, bringing you closer to what you want to accomplish. Now, you got to have a vision. You got to have something there. Marilyn talked about that. You got to have the plan. There's got to be something pulling you. It can't just be a random thing. There's a specific vision that you have that is about pride and passion. You could tell that Marilyn had that passion and that pride and that purpose that was pulling her. So allow your pain from the past to catapult you forward and have a vision for the future that's pulling you ever closer to accomplishing your goals. That's all the time we have on the Quotivation Podcast. I want to thank Marilyn August for being our special guest this week. I want to thank Amy Real of Fairway Mortgage. Take advantage of that cash guarantee. You'll be glad you did. But most of all, I want to thank you for listening. Until next time, stay quotivated.
You have been listening to the Quotivation Podcast, hosted by America's leading emerging speaker, Jody Powell. If you would like to book Jody to speak at your company, conference, or next event, visit www.jodypowellspeaks.com. You can also email him at Jody, that's J-O-D-Y, at jodypowellspeaks.com. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to the Quotivation Podcast. And remember, stay quotivated.